in this country.
So,
Lord, we thank you so much for what you're going to do. We can't do this, Lord. You know, we know that so well. But you can. Nothing is too hard for you. So, Lord, we bless you. We love you. We're so grateful that you've allowed us to be co-laboring with you at this time. And bless all those on this call today. Cause faith to stir across your church, that we would see nothing is impossible with you. And we praise you and thank you in the wonderful, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We do praise and thank you as we come to the end of this hour and we look to the next hour. Lord, we praise and adore and love you. We're waiting upon you. We're listening to you because you are the one who is orchestrating all. Thank you that you're teaching us how to pray in our time. And Lord, we adore you. We thank you. Unite our hearts with yours and with one another in the matchless name of Yeshua. Amen. Thank you, precious Gerard. Thank you, Mark and Linda and Amy. And all of you have been praying this hour. Please do visit prayeratheheart.org. You will find more information on how you can be involved. And let's continue to be watchmen on the wall, praying into Prayer at the Heart. And now as we're right at the top of the hour, it's been a joy being here. I'm going to continue on as we have Grant and Holly Berry and precious Bob Wolf with us now to begin this hour. And welcome, you guys. Thanks so much for being here. Hand it over right to you so we can move forward with what the Lord has for this next hour.
Amy, it's such a blessing. Can you hear me, Amy?
Yeah, you're
yes.
on, Brent.
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear, yes.
Yeah, it's such a blessing to be with you and to agree with all of your prayers in the last hour. We are recording, right?
Yes, we're already started.
Yes.
All right, great. Welcome, everyone, to the Prayer Surge Now Hour that focuses monthly, the third Saturday of each month, on specifically praying into the one you met, to restoration and love and unity into God's family. And I'm Grant Berry, and I'm standing in for Daisop Han. Prayer Surge Now is really such a wonderful prayer gathering through conference call communication, both nationally and internationally, focusing on so many different aspects in church reform and lifting up the arms of many leaders and ministry focuses in the ecclesia to see Yeshua, Jesus, lifted up that all men would be drawn unto him. And today, beloved, we have a very special meeting. Bob, my dear brother, who we usually do this call with, has been working very hard behind the scenes with Earl Clampett and a number of other One You Man leaders. And they are going to be hosting a very special One You Man conference on the day of Shavuot, on the Friday and the Saturday of Shavuot Pentecost weekend, which is next week. And so at this point...
2 weeks.
It's in 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
2 weeks. Thanks, Bob. At this point, I want to introduce Bob to you. And Bob... before you actually talk about the gathering and the actual meeting, and with all, obviously, please give us all the information that people need to either attend in California or sign up on live stream. You and all and the other leaders, you know, have put together an amazing a booklet called Kingdom Calling, which really focuses. It's really focusing on a couple of very special features in this restoration, namely bringing us deeper into our connections with the Father, and also this transition that we're in, that many of us are experiencing, sort of moving from the old wineskin to the new wineskin, sort of moving from the church age into the kingdom age. And just want to invite you to just really share your heart. And by the way, is all on with us this morning?
I'm not aware.
Okay.
I don't see him.
Yeah. Take it away, Bob.
All right. Thank you, Grant. Grant's sort of been the East Coast, and I'm the West Coast on this thing. And when we did this Kingdom Calling book, we had two words that came to us. One was deconstruct, and the other was reconstruct. That we've been in a church age where so much separation has taken place inside the body that it has made it difficult for us to identify the kind of relationship that the Lord wants us to have with each other. And ultimately, what we recognize is that this was really largely due to our not having the proper kind of relationship with Abba Father. We've gone through Pentecost and that era with Azusa Street. It has been an explosive period of growth for the church. And we have had the Jesus movement that took place in the latter half of the previous century. But we have really felt that the Lord is calling us back to himself, and that, as the scripture says, is that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so that was where we started the focus on this book, Kingdom Calling. And this is, we don't even refer to this as a book or a booklet. It's a field manual. And so we're just dealing with the basics. We had four of us working on it, myself and Earl Clampett, Don Ennevoldsen, who's done a lot of editing with me, and Mark Huey, who is I've met through the MJAA, Messianic Jewish Alliance of America. And it took us 2 years to write 35 pages because we really had to boil this down and show how we need to come to the Father and the necessity for us to identify ourselves as family with the Father, so that the vertical relationship that we have to have is properly set in place and aligned, then the idea of the one new man and the horizontal relationship works much better in terms of how we are to be a family. So that was the vision behind this, and the conference that we're doing is down in San Diego, and as Grant said, it's on Erev Shavuot, the eve of Pentecost, and it will be at Faith Chapel, which is in East County, San Diego, and we will have an intercession the night before at the Legacy Center in San Diego for leaders, and then the conference will be all day on the 4th. So that's sort of the thumbnail sketch for that, Grant.
Yeah, Bob, can you touch on some specifics related to the kind of the difference? You know, much of the church is focused on, obviously, on Yeshua. Yeshua said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." But as you're pointing out, you're beginning to make clear to us that there's an additional step that we need to focus on. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah,
and then maybe let's pray into that.
Yeah, I mean, the question here is, what is the ultimate goal of our relationship with God? Got some background noise there, so anybody, if you have some background noise, please kindly mute *6. Thanks. When the Lord calls us and He calls us to Himself, the idea here is that we are we have to be focused on who our dad is, who our father is. This is a return that we had. When Israel came out of Egypt, the Lord says, I'm calling you to myself. So the concept of our relationship with Father has always been there as the primary relationship. That was never diminished when Yeshua was brought to earth. And that there is has been a consistent call to the Father by both the Holy Spirit as well as Yeshua, so that when Yeshua says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he is not trying to substitute himself for the Father. Most of church doctrine in the Pentecostal churches, Catholic churches, and so on, are very much Christological. They're very much focused on Jesus. That is not so much an error as it is that if Jesus becomes so primary that we diminish our relationship with our Father, then we have gone too far. And in so doing that, we have come up with so many different theologies or Christologies in terms of how we're supposed to do church that has created confusion, and that's where much of the denominationalism has come in terms of defining how we're supposed to do all of the different theologies that flow out of that, which has caused literally the thousands, by some counts, tens of thousands of denominations in a church where 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, let there be no divisions among you. And a clear sign of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit has always accompanied unity in the church. And so the unity in the church, for example, when Solomon built the temple and all the priests came together, it says in the most holy place, 2 Corinthians 5:11, where it says that all the priests are in the most holy place, and when they step out, that they are undivided, and then all the trumpets blow, and then all the voices come together, and at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes into that place, and it says that no one was even able to minister because of the presence of God. This is a picture of what happens when the church is truly unified and undivided. That has to take place for the church to reach all of what it's called to be. And so we feel that we're calling this the kingdom movement because we're not to diminish the church because Jesus loves the church, but rather to try to focus the church on its highest calling, which is ultimately to be at one with the Father. I hope that helps.
Yeah, you know, at times, right, in church history, we've got sort of over-focused. Like, for example, when at the Pentecostal movement, we kind of got a little over-focused on the Holy Spirit. And much of the church, as you say, is very focused on, you know, on the Lamb and on Yeshua. But of course, I think, you know, the Father's wanting to bring us into this balance, but really between the three. Bob, just in your own thoughts and words, what does it really look like to connect more with the Father? As Yeshua's focusing us to the Father, you know, this is eternal life, that we would know the one and true God and Yeshua. What does that look like to you? I mean, help us with some differences there that may, you know, put some legs and feet to this.
Well, I wish Earl were on the phone because I would defer to him right now, so I'll try to do the best I can to voice Earl. Earl says is that so much of the church is set up on transportation, and by that is the idea of going to heaven. And he says you cannot find a scripture verse that specifically says that we are going to heaven. We talk about being in heaven, but the idea of going to heaven as if it were a geographic place or even a spiritual place is really defined by when we are in proper relationship with Father God. That is where heaven exists. Heaven exists on the basis of relationship, and so it's being transformed into the relationship that takes place with the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we get saved, that is what draws us into the heavenly places. That's why Yeshua could say the kingdom of God is at hand. It's when we are in his presence. And therefore, the church has to learn more about what it means to be transformed instead of transported. And so that's sort of like the simplest way of understanding how God has called us to move in our relationship with him.
Bob, I love your expression when wanting to lead us to pray. Take us to heaven here. Lead us off and pray into this, and then let's invite other intercessors on the call also to pray into this, also with any insight and revelation, because I think we're being focused on something new here. It may be not be new in the word, but I think it's new in our experience. And so would you lead us off, Bob?
Yeah. Father God, this has been from the very beginning your idea, your concept, your creation, your kingdom, from the beginning. All of these things came from you and point us back to you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for pouring out your Spirit. We thank you for sending your Son. We thank you for the very act of creation, the very ability to breathe, Lord, starts with you. Lord, from the time that this nation here started, we saw you move. But Lord, this is not something that is just limited to a certain nation or a certain country. But when the Lord calls us and talks to us about being Israel, it's not just some small spit of land on the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea. It is your kingdom, that the whole earth is filled with your glory, that the kingdom of God, the river of God, is full, and it's your fullness, Lord, that you have always wanted for us. Lord, from the time you started on the East Coast to what's happening now on the West Coast of the United States, that we're only a launch pad, Father, for what is going on around the world. And we have seen this through the Pentecostal movement, and we have seen that there is now explosive church growth. And what's really happening in our nation, Lord, is that you are now rekindling a fire that has burned down some and needs fresh fuel, Father God. So, Lord, we're calling upon you now, Father, for that fresh fire to fall on our nation. The church has fallen into disarray in our nation on so many levels. Yes, some places it's stronger, but too many places church has gotten watered down. And so, Lord, we're asking you to bring that fresh, fresh fire to our nation so that we will be, and that the Spirit of America, Father God, would rise up and people would understand what their proper relationship is with Abba Father and Father God, and that relationships with not just you, Father, but our fathers here would be restored. Going all the way back to Malachi, that the kingdoms of this world, Father God, are going to be the kingdom of our God. And that is your calling, Father. We thank you for showing us that in your word. And we commit ourselves, Father, to unifying your body under the Father, as it says in Ephesians 2:18, all through one Spirit to the Father. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Yes, and now others, please, just tell us where you're from, name and where you're from, and join us in prayer. Beloved.
This is Barbara from New Jersey. Lord God, I'm just so grateful that we can come together like this and that we can pour our hearts out and talk to you specifically, and you hear our prayers, Father, and you answer our prayers. I'd like to thank you for these two men of God and for the others who you have called for this desire to see it here on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, as we come together as one, help us to truly live the discipleship teachings that we have been taught through Yeshua. Father, may we come together and not just leave it in our heads, but that our hearts join in this relationship that we will have, that we have already with you, Abba, but that we will have with each other, regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of what church or synagogue we come out of. And Father, I just thank you because you are the one who orchestrate, that it's not about people. It's not about anything but your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And we are so grateful to be a small part of it. Lead us and guide us, O God, as we come before you with humility, asking, lead the way, Lord. Show us what you would have us do and how you would have us be part. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen.
This is Susan from Connecticut, and I just want to read from Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And Lord, I ask right now, Lord, that just as our brother Yeshua prayed to you, Father, that we would pray to you, that we would honor you, that we would glorify you in our lives, just as we honor your Son, just as we honor the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would turn our hearts to you, Lord, because we, the only way, Lord, that we can learn to love, that we can learn to have our being is through you, Abba. For you are the one who gave us our life, knew us before time began, Lord. And you are the one that pours out your love to each and every one of us. And we can't love without your love. We can't be without your being in us. You created us from the beginning. And so I ask, Lord, that you would cause us to come into greater relationship with you, Lord, to greater relationship with you, Abba Father, because without the Father's love, who are we? Who are we? We are nothing without you, Abba, and we need you, more of you in us. We need more understanding of who you are in us, and I just thank you for that in Yeshua's name.
Amen.
This is Fred Lunsford in North Carolina. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being in on this call. Hear your voice speak to our hearts. Dear Lord, we want to come, say, come, Lord Jesus, and manifest yourself in such a way that we all will come together in hearts and soul as one, as you prayed in the 17th chapter of John, repeatedly, that they may be one as we are one. Dear Lord Jesus, Holy, Blessed, Sweet Holy Spirit, mold us together in an inseparable fashion for the propagation of the kingdom of God in this world as you see fit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have one more pray specifically into this focus on Yeshua bringing us to the Father.
Father God, we're so grateful for what you're doing. This is Alana in Florida. And Lord God, we thank you, God, for your heart, your love for your people, your love for your children, Lord God. You're not the one that moved away. We're the ones that moved away. And Father God, we just pray for that great turning back to you with hearts full of passion and full of love to take hold and grip the body of Christ all across this country, Lord God. This is a kingdom movement. It's your kingdom. It's your kingdom come. Your will be done. We hear that. We hear people crying out for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in our land, in our states, in our government, in our cities, in our homes, in our churches, all across this country. And Father God, that's our plea today. And we receive your will and your ways, Heavenly Father, and all that you're doing, and all that is going on right now with this move of heart to receive your kingdom. We thank you, Lord God. We receive you. We bless you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bob, you know, you're calling the field manual. It's called Kingdom Calling, and obviously it's focused on this shift for us to move into the kingdom focus. Can you speak to that a little bit? And then I'd like to invite some of our some of us to pray into that with you.
Yeah, there are stages that the Lord takes us through, and these are all things that we have seen before. I don't think there's anything in kingdom calling that will be a surprise to people, but rather what we're trying to do is to focus in on the essence of some very basic teachings that we have a tendency, because we're so familiar with them, to skip over too quickly. And so the first part of this book or booklet, the field manual, talks about what our identity is, that we are made in the image and likeness of God. That actually refers to the vertical relationship that we have with Father, as well as the horizontal relationship that we have with each other. The next phase is that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if you are a believer, then you are a leader. And the idea that people are to take this secondary role and to sit in the pews and allow church to come and go to places where, quote, where we're being fed, I go to church to be fed. We are called to be feeding people. Mm-hmm. To be fishers of men is not just to catch men, but it is also to advance the kingdom of God. And that with that understanding, then it's easier for us to understand the need to return to the Father. So with this idea of our identity and the idea that we are leaders and that God puts this passion into every one of us, and then that sets the stage for the return to the Father. With that understanding, we then have a clear picture of who the one new man is. And from there, then we understand not only that we have gifts, but we understand how to use them and how to employ them in the proper context. The booklet starts with the Lord's Prayer. The first two words in the Lord's Prayer is our Father. And so Yeshua starts from the idea of we are family. He's basically saying, I'm your older brother. So that when we say, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father, it is the presence of God within him. But he calls us to this horizontal placement underneath the Father, even though he is part of the Godhead. That shows the level of humility that God had in bringing himself in on flesh, and that we needed to have someone who was a human being to be our Messiah so that we could see how to live. And then out of that, we employ the gifts, and at the end of this, we bring people back to John 17, because that's the last prayer that Yeshua had. So you start with the Our Father, when the disciples said, how do we pray? And we end with John 17, where we see the unity in the kingdom. And in that context, it then teaches us how it is that we're to walk out our faith. That's what kingdom calling does. It's short and it's sweet, and it's designed to hit the sweet spot. And that's why we put it together. Amen.
You know, one of the things that as you were sharing, that hit my spirit was, you know, the word responsibility, you know, because in this shift from the old wineskin to the new wineskin, in the old wineskin, most of the responsibility for ministry goes to the leadership. But in the Word of God, the ministers and leaders are supposed to equip the body with the works for the works of the ministry. And of course, I think that's one of the transitions and the shifts that the Lord is looking to bring us into that you've actually been describing. You know, before the call this morning, I just looked up the references in the Romans 911 project to the Father and to the kingdom, two of these focuses that we're praying on this morning. And in the Romans 911 book, we mention the Father 224 times. We mention the kingdom 113 times.
Yep.
In the Romans 911 study guide, the video teachings, we mention the Father and the Father's heart 216 times and the kingdom of God 101 times. So
yeah.
There is such a major emphasis now for us to begin to shift, and also for us to pray, especially as his watchmen, for us to pray for the church to take on this responsibility, because there's also a comfort in the old wineskin of sitting in the pew and paying your tithe and sort of going about your life and just, you know, blessing the ministry and all the ministries that our churches bring to us to support. But, you know, this type of old wineskin is really coming to an end. And the Father is looking for his body to arise. And you so eloquently, you know, communicate this in the kingdom calling focus. I really like a number of us to actually, Bob, if you could lead us off again specifically on this kingdom focus, and then let's pray into this. And then before the top of the hour, let's focus on this one new man in John 17 to sort of bring it to a close.
Amen. Lord, it tells us 1 Corinthians 15:24, then the end will come when he hands everything over to you, Lord. Lord, Jesus came here to show us how to live so that we would hand our lives over to him, Lord. Mm-hmm. And to be a follower of Yeshua is not to be a passive individual. That Yeshua came here and he showed us how he wanted us to live, and he lived his passion. And Lord, that passion you then put into us. And you called us to live passionate lives, mm-hmm. Lord. You called us to be released. You called us with these gifts that you gave us. And you said, I've given you these gifts. Use them, Bob. Use them, Grant. Use them.
Come on.
Glorify God, to glorify the kingdom, so that as we do that, the responsibility that we have is not only to use them, but then to give the glory to you for having received these gifts, so that we don't steal the glory that never was intended to be ours, but rather was to be passed along to you, so that when they see us, that they would see the Father. The same way when they saw Yeshua, that they would see the Father. Lord, would we live lives that are so submitted to you and so filled with your passion that people would say, you know, when I look at this person, I see something of Jesus. I see the passion that was put inside of Yeshua. And that we would one day stand before you and that you would say, thank you for living the passion and using the gifts that I gave you to glorify my name and to glorify the kingdom. That has been your heart from the beginning, Lord. We thank you for that, Father. And we just ask you now, Father, to stir up the hearts of those intercessors on this call, that they would pray with that passion that you have given us, Father. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Yes. Yes, Father.
Amen.
First, stir in us. Start mm-hmm. with our hearts, Lord, that we would carry mm-hmm. this and press into it,
mm-hmm.
but then also with a vigilance for the body to awaken and arise. Lord, we're living in dark times, and that darkness is increasing. And Lord, we know that you are wanting the light to shine in the darkness. And so, Father, we're praying into that this morning, Father, that that light would shine brightly in us, and that it would overflow from us. But Lord, that you would lead us to pray and press in to the kingdom, Father, to heaven, that you would release greater measure, that you would begin to stir churches and stir leaderships, and that, Father, the old wineskin would no longer satisfy, that even become frustrating to many of the pastors that are shepherding, and it would cause them to get on their knees and get on their faces and seek you, to follow the patterns and the plans that you have for this end time era, that you have a pathway and you are laying a foundation for this kingdom to come, And we call it forth now, Father. We say, come, come, come from the east and the west and the north and the south. In Yeshua's name. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. This is Deb from Montana, and I agree with you, brother. Father, that the shepherds and the people that are standing behind the pulpits, and some of them really don't belong there. But Father, there is something there that they hold on to more than the kingdom way. And that's their doctrinal, what the doctrine of their churches laid down hundreds of years ago, they go by that instead of the kingdom. And they try and flavor their way with the kingdom, and God is not going to work. Father, I pray that they will lay down all the doctrinal differences and pick up your kingdom way. Thy kingdom come into the church. Thy kingdom come into the government of the church. The government of the church should be on your shoulders, not on some man-made doctrine. And Father, we pray that you will open up the blind eyes, soften the hard hearts, unstop the deaf ears, that they will hear what you are saying. And Daniel had to have that manifestation of the vision of what you were doing, and he proclaimed who you were. And he says, for he is a living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So, Father, we just thank you for this ancient word from a king who finally recognized who you were. You are the living God. And we pray this, that your word would go across this nation and the nations of the world. You are the only living God. And your word is what they should be the source of their life. Amen. Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you, Beth.
Others to pray into this kingdom focus.
Lord God, I would pray for the divisions that have been so artificially and unscripturally set up to divide the body of Christ would become why did we ever think this way? Because we're focused on you, Heavenly Father. We're focused on your ways. We're focused on your will. We're focused on your love being poured out. And it's so clearly obvious. There's only one Holy Spirit. There isn't like an inferior Holy Spirit that is in other people that we don't think are quite as good as we are. That's just a heartbreaking position to take. And Father God, we just pray for all of those lies and all that misinformation to be repented of. It needs it. It needs to. We pray for it to come out in the open. It's like, why do we have this rule? Why do we think this? Why do we do these things? And just pull it all down.
Amen.
Pulling spider webs out of your closet. Mm-hmm. Just pull it down so that just the cleanness and the comfort and the work of our Heavenly Father can go forth. Oh, God, that you can use us and not let us get beat up by the church structure. God, that you can just use us and let us go forth. Mm-hmm. Let us be your people. Let us serve you, Lord God. We plead for that. We thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. We have one more person pray into the kingdom before we move on.
This is Linda in California. Heavenly Father, we adore you. We adore you, and we praise you for our big brother, Jesus. We praise you for him, who shows us how to live our life each and every moment. And he prayed for us not to take us out of this world in these dark times, but he prayed He prays to you, Abba, to not to take us out of this world, but to protect us from the evil one. So this is our prayer now. This is our prayer for each and every one of your children on this call seeking you and you alone. We praise you for your ways, and we abide in you with blessed assurance of who you are. And in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, in the Romans 9:11 materials, we make very clear that the end focus here is not the one new man, that the one new man is foundational to John 17, love and unity. In order for the Father to be able to bring about its fullness. And this is something, obviously, we know the church hasn't fully recognized. It's beginning to recognize the significance, and this light needs to go on. And, of course, Bob, you focus on that, bringing forth the one new man in kingdom calling. Just share with us the significance now of God's children in the nations reconnecting specifically with the remnant of Israel, Jewish believers in the land and also in the messianic body in the diaspora.
Well, as I was saying, Israel is not a sliver of land. Yes, that's a proper definition of it, but it is not the only definition of it. And for many people, Israel is... If you're Jewish, like I was raised, it's a definition of a community. It's not even necessarily about your faith as it is more of a historical view. But Father God, you have called us to be family. You have called us to be family. That is not a light statement. And as we are in an environment where the very understanding of the role of what a family is and who we are called to be is running contrary to what your vision is of a family, a healthy family with unity that understands the nature of brotherhood, that understands the nature of humanity itself and how God designed us to be. Father, forgive us for the way that we are using our humanity as a way of trying to define ourselves and identify ourselves first through our humanity instead of first through you. That we will not walk in the relationship that you have called Israel to walk in unless we are in proper relationship with you. You are the God of Israel. You have declared yourself to be. And you sent your son for Israel so that Israel would be properly aligned or realigned to your kingdom calling over not only that nation, but to be a blessing to other nations. And that those who identify with Israel through their father, Lord, are truly unified and have a understanding of the identity that you have given us, that you have called us to live in. And it is only under that banner of love that we can have the proper kind of relationship, first of all, to you and to each other. And so we call out Israel. We call out your Israel. We call out the nation who you named after your son at the time when he was being disobedient and you touched his hip, Father God, that he would humble himself before you and remember that in his wrestling match that you always had everything set before him and that your covenant that you made, you would never break and that has been fulfilled and continues to be fulfilled and will always be fulfilled through eternity. Amen.
Let's pray into this one new man focus specifically as Bob led us. first as a family, and then to bring reconciliation specifically between God's children, his Jewish believers and his children from the nations.
This is Nancy from D.C. Yeshua, you said that you were the vine and we were the branches, and we are grafted into you, and that makes us one with you and the one new man. God, we just thank you that you have made one body that we join together. And God, we need Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all to accomplish the purpose that you put us here for. Lord, we want to be used, God, to bring unity in the body. And most of all, God, to show the love to your people, so many that don't know you yet, Lord. We thank you for the Jews that have come to Messiah, God. And the Messianic body that is growing around the world. But Lord, there's a huge harvest yet, Lord. We thank you for laborers into that harvest. Thank you, God, that you're bringing the one new man together. And we just give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you praise. And ask you, Lord, to show us our part. Give us divine appointments, Lord, so that we can be your voice, that we can be your love vessels here on this earth. In Yeshua's name, I pray. Amen.
Two more, please. Two more to pray into this. Allie, would you lead us?
Father, I thank you. I thank you for this time together, Lord, where we just pray to get the deeper revelation knowledge of our identity in you. And just like Jacob wrestled, Father, we wrestle every day with our identity, Lord. We are all like prodigals forgetting our role. Because of our own humanity, Lord, strengthen us, Father. Strengthen us, Father, so we would know our identity is to bring your family together as one, together, in unity. Father, you want us all to sit at your table. So, Lord, would you help us to stay humble. Help us to seek your face. Help us to grow in our identity, to bring forth your commandment to love one another in Yeshua's name.
Amen. Amen. Judy Ward in North Carolina, would you pray into the one you man, John 17? Father, as we draw close to the end of the hour here, obviously there's a need to pray into the actual event. So give us an outline of the things that we need to pray on, and then I think I want to ask everyone to unmute and really let's pray. Let's just pray in agreement for those things to come about. Go ahead, Paul.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. The event is called onetogether.org, and together is spelled T-W-O, so it's the number one, T-W-O-G-E-T-H-E-R, one together. onetogether.org. We're asking for prayer for our speakers, Jim and Rosemary Garlow, Raleigh Washington, Joel Lieberman, and Mark Biltz.
Amen.
And they're excited. We're excited. I mean, this is really something that has come together on a magnificent level. Mm-hmm. And we have so many, we'll probably hear from a couple of dozen people over the day. We're bringing in leaders from all over the place. We're being live broadcast by K-Praise at the end of the event. We're bringing in Vice President Myron Leiser from the Navajo Nation. And Mark's coming out here, Mark Huey from Texas. We've got people coming in from a distance just because they sense what's going on. Because San Diego is the western gate where the gospel came in. Father mm-hmm. Sarah came mm-hmm. here, planted his first mission in San Diego, and then a couple dozen up the state of California. This is the western gate, just as we have. I've been out east mm-hmm. for Jamestown, some of these other places, where the eastern gate has been. Eric Carlson and so on have shown us the plans that God has for our nation. So this is something that was set up before we were here. This event is something that the Lord has called us to. And there's a convergence here. Mark Biltz's word about the convergence and what's going on here is stunning. We will be live streaming the event, and I'll have that information to live stream as quickly as once we get our site set up for that. So we ask for prayer for Earl Clampett and John Neal and myself. We are the ones who've been organizing this thing, and then for all the speakers that are coming in to share their hearts. So that's a brief overview, but go to onetogether.org, one T-W-O, number one T-W-O, and you can see for yourself. And we would appreciate your prayers. We've decided to make it a free event, trusting that we want to have everybody there who the Lord has called. And in Matthew 7, that when the marriage ceremony took place, that the Lord said, I'm not looking for people that are giving me excuses as to why they can't come. Go out to the highways and byways and bring the people, because we know that every believer is a leader. And so this is for all leaders to come to this event.
So let's everyone Amen. Unmute, and let's mm-hmm. let's just pray. Let's just pray in agreement for this event.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Oh Lord, Father, high, and we
Amen.
Just pray.
Yes, Father, Lord, that you would show up to this event. Lord, this is your event, Abba.
For us,
that you would bring healing to broken hearts, Lord. That you would open eyes to you as you truly are, Father.
The love of the Father,
that you would
heal
the brokenhearted,
the love the Father has
for
you to be in you, that deeper revelation
each and every person. Restore hearts to one another.
Exceedingly
abundantly above what they're expecting, Lord. That you would meet each and every person that comes right where they are. That you would give them everything that they need according to your
vision,
Lord.
Protect everything you've got.
Thank you for this promise.
You will whittle for them. You will redeem them in as they want in time. Amen. A moment in time.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, is there anything we can pray for you personally at the moment? Just share with us any personal prayer requests.
Are you speaking to everybody, Grant, or to me?
To you.
Okay. Well, this, in a personal prayer request, if you saw my left, stopped, and I didn't.
Sorry, Bob, you went blank. You went blank for about 50 seconds.
Okay. Yesterday, my trail bike stopped, and I didn't. And my left hand is pretty swollen. So, personal prayer, just that the Lord would heal me. And I landed right on top of my head, and guess what? My head and neck are just fine. I was divinely protected, I think, by the Lord. But I was having a lot of fun, and then all of a sudden the fun stopped. we had a great time, okay? So I have no complaints here, you know. But it was really something to go out and see that. But my prayer is very simple. Lord, you know, just have your way. I was looking at the scriptures we were praying when they asked Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus is saying, well, when you see me, you've seen the Father. But what I'm saying is, Lord, allow us to be so much like Yeshua that not only that you showed us the Father, but that all of us would see the Father in each other. All of us would see Yeshua in each other. There is something.
Amen.
There is a way to be godly, and God has shown us how to be godly, and that's my prayer is that we would really see the Father's love in each other. That would be my great
Amen.
Prayer request
Amen.
Today.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let's have a couple of people 1 minute prayers just to pray for Bob physically, and then also let's end, you know, praying for that great request that Yeshua would be seen in all of us, to those around us.
Deb, this is Deb in Montana. At this very moment in time, Lord, one touch can heal. And Father, we just thank you now that you are going to miraculously touch this hand, and it will no longer be swollen, and there will be another miracle that he has experienced in his lifetime. And it's just a demonstration of how much you love and care for him. And we thank you, Lord, that there were angels watching over him, so it wasn't any worse than that, and nothing was broken. And Father, we just thank you for that. And I'm going to add something else about the gathering in San Diego. He's, of course, we always use this for a reference to the restoration of Judah and Israel. But in Zechariah 10:8, you're going to whistle for them and gather them, and I will redeem them, and they shall increase as the ones increased. Father, whistle for your people. Whistle for the one new man. And may we all hear you and understand and just leave off all the stuff that we have gathered over the in our religious life, so to speak. So, Father, we thank you that we will hear the whistle, and more people will too. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is Fred, North Carolina, our Heavenly Father. We ask you, dear Jesus, to make out of us what you want us to be. Make us a channel of the love of God that will flow from heart to heart and breast to breast and touch many people around us. Let it be an overflow of the God himself, because God is love. and let it be manifested in us through the love of God around the world. Holy Spirit, God, do your work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, beloved. I have been in a number of intercessory prayer meetings, specifically in Israel, where we have actually whistled. And I just felt like the system was encouraging us
to
release a whistle. So let's end this hour again. Open
yes.
up your mic and release a whistle from the heart of
Amen.
The Father. And then Bob will give it back to you, so for you to host the next half hour.
Jeff Anderson's coming. Yes, yes. Good morning to you, Jeff Anderson here. Yeah, Jeff. We're all going to whistle, and then we'll introduce you.
We're whistling for the body.
Ooh, again.
Amen. Amen. Bob, are you controlling the recording?
Yes, I am.
Amen.
All right. So I'm going to end this recording and then start another one right away. Okay. So here we go. There we go. Jeff Anderson, thank you for joining us. Where are you, Jeff?
Dallas Checker.
Yeah, I heard of that. Yeah. Yeah, I heard of that. Dollars, taxes, isn't that what they call it? Yeah. Jeff, tell us about yourself. Tell us what's on your heart so that we can join with you and stand with you and cover you. We've had such a good time over the last hour or so here with the One New Man, now we'd like to hand the torch over to you. What's on your heart, Jeff?
Well, I'm in Dallas, Texas, as I mentioned earlier, and preparing for an event that's going to be happening here actually just in 1 month, and it's entitled Together 22. And it's an equipping event, equipping young people in sharing the news of the gospel. And it's going to be happening at June 24 and 25 at the Cotton Bowl Stadium. And we're excited as momentum continues to build for this opportunity to invest and encourage young people to share the good news of the gospel.
Anniversary event as well. So tell us what the roots are on this thing.
Well, you're right. It goes back 50 years. This is the 50-year celebration of Expo 72. And some may be aware of that. We're finding more and more are aware of it. And it's had an impact in the lives of many people for generations. And it's the back in 1972, Billy Graham and Bill Bright teamed up together and sponsored an event called Expo 72, and there were 70,000 young people that gathered at the Cotton Bowl Stadium 6 days, and were trained in evangelism in the morning, went out and shared in the afternoon, and came back and were encouraged and inspired by Billy Graham for 6 days. And over the course of that six-day period of time, of the 70,000, there were over 10,000 that actually committed their lives to Christ. So it was an evangelistic thrust in addition to equipping these young people to share the goodness of the gospel. So this is the 50th anniversary of Expo 72, and Visionary for Together 22 is what this is called, is Nick Hall. Nick is an evangelist and has a real passion to reach young people with the good news of the gospel, as well as to equip young people to share the gospel. So we're engaged here in a two-day event, as I mentioned, coming up in just about a month, and we're excited with this opportunity. We have people coming from 48 states, that are part of this. This is actually a national event. It's not regional here just for Dallas, as Expo 72 was a national event. And we're inviting young people to come from all over the country to engage in this opportunity. Now we have about 25,000 that are registered, and anticipate that number to swell, especially from the local DFW area as we move into this final month of preparation.
So give us the date again, and then give us the website and so on, and give us what you consider to be the high point. And also, I'm sort of curious as to who was it that actually said, we need to get this thing, we need to do this renewal. Who got the vision, say, you know, it's going to be 50 years and we need to do something about it. Fill us in on some of the basics here.
Yeah. Well, again, it's our June 24 and 25. It begins on Friday evening at 5 o'clock, and it goes until 11 on Friday. And then Saturday we begin at 9, go till 12:30. And we have an open afternoon for those who are there to take what they've been learning on Friday and Saturday and go to the community. And to be involved in additional evangelism opportunities, one-on-one, and going into neighborhoods and communicating the gospel. That afternoon as well, doing service projects, and then returning Saturday night from 6 to 10 on Saturday evening, June 25th, and be a time of, again, encouragement, inspiration, instruction. And then we'll have a commissioning service. It's not only to come here, Bob, the purpose is just not to come and to take in, you know, over Friday and Saturday, but it's then to take what you've learned and to take it back to the communities where you live and where you go to school and become a witness for Christ. So it's really geared to empower a generation to have a significant impact in their spheres of influence for the Lord Jesus Christ. A little bit of background as far as the inspiration of it. As you had mentioned, Paul Eshelman, a leader with CREW, has been for years, was a director under Bill Bright of Expo 72. And Paul has been a mentor and a friend to Nick Hall. Nick is founder of Pulse, an evangelistic ministry that reaches into the hearts and lives of young people on college campuses, and certainly not only on college campuses, but they do major community events as well that are evangelistic in nature. But the Paul and Nick have been friends for years, and of course, with this anniversary celebration, it ties directly into what Paul did at Expo. And looking at the date, it's almost happening on the same date as what Expo took place back in 1972. But there's a yearning that, and there's a uniqueness among young people today, and a passion among young people today to share the good news of the gospel. And this is what Nick and other leaders have echoed from around the country. And let's rally them, the young people, together. And let's inspire them, let's encourage them, let's equip them, and let's encourage them as they go forward in their lives. And this is just not, as I mentioned, for a week or two or three after this event is over, but the encouragement is for a lifestyle. And you know, you can't put the movement of the Spirit of God in a box, and our family is a bit of a testimony to that. My dad, at 33, attended Expo 72, and we were living in Wisconsin at the time, and he brought a group. He was a businessman there in the area, and these business guys, they got together, and they said, you know, we're going to, they heard about Expo, and they said, we're going to provide this opportunity for young people in our community to actually go from a little community called Neenah, Wisconsin, and we're going to provide an opportunity for them to go to Dallas, Texas, and to be a part of Expo. So my dad came down here with a group, and was down here, of course, for the conference, and I've been over to the a number of times since being here over the last 6 months, and I've often looked out over the seats because I wonder where my dad sat. You know, is he heard and was encouraged and inspired in this area of evangelism? Well, he came back and was a Christian prior to going, but as he came back, I noticed there were some life change things that took place in his life. I mean, he got involved in the prison ministry and a couple of years after that, we moved to Minneapolis, which is the headquarters for the Billy Graham Association, and he got involved in telephone counseling over the phone, sharing the good news of the gospel. Did that for about 20 years. Started a men's Bible study that met every Friday morning and led that for 24 years, and started a thrift store in the community, serving those individuals in the community and the monies that were received as people bought items that were donated to the thrift store, went to Bibles for Bulgaria, and hundreds of thousands of dollars over the last 20 years has been raised for that particular purpose. And so I saw firsthand, a significant impact that took place from Expo in my dad's life, you know, which impacted me. And I've had the privilege to work with the Billy Graham Association for 39 years and serving Mr. Graham the last 21 years as he did crusades of his life. And my son is actually one of the directors of Together 22 here, and has worked with Nick Hall for the last 12 years of his life, and he has a son and a grandson, Caleb. He's 10 years old, and a couple weeks ago we were talking. I said, Caleb, what do you want to do when you grow up? And he said, I want to do what my dad does. That's what I want to do. And so I believe the impact that took place, it's significant, that took place in 1972 in the life of my dad, who's now in heaven. But it has impacted me, impacted my son, and now my grandson. So it's personal for me as it relates to what took place in 1972. And this story I share with you is multiplied in the lives of, I believe, many, many people, you know, over the years. And so the generational impact in our lives, our family, has been very significant. So we're trusting, we're believing that as this mission goes forward and as this investment takes place in the lives of young people in just a month, that this will be something that will impact, and of course with technology today, will not just impact cities in the U.S., but will impact certainly our country and could impact the world for generations to come. So that's how we're viewing it. And as we go forward in planning that 72 Expo impact, literally thousands, potentially hundreds of thousands of people. And we're believing that this will do the same for the years to come. Nick Hall is a visionary. As I mentioned, there was a group from North Dakota, a university there that came to Expo 72, and Josh McDowell was one of the speakers, and he'll be one of the speakers as well as we move into preparations, you know, for next month. But back in 72, Josh spoke. A group from North Dakota came, heard him, went back to their campus, and were praying as far as what can we do to reach our campus for Christ. And about a year and a half after Expo 72, they invited Josh McDowell to come to the campus, and Josh spoke. In the audience was Bruce Hall, who's the father of Nick Hall, and Bruce committed his life to Christ at that meeting with Josh McDowell. And, of course, it's a generational story as well, because Bruce, of course, has his son Nick, and Nick has a son, Truett, and the influence and impact of the gospel continues to go forward. So, just a few brief stories for you along that line, but we believe it's an equipping event with an investment for the future.
Yeah. So, you know, Dallas has been the site of so many of these. Just something about what happens in Texas in terms of the explosive growth in the kingdom. And you kept mentioning the word generational, and you see that. And the fact that this is going on 50 years, and you, and there's more to come out of that. We're quite sure of that. I sense this, and one of the things that I really enjoy about this is this idea of catching the fire, that when these things happen, that we don't want to limit these things to an event at a stadium, but rather, yes, that we see that, as you said, these things came back. They came back to Wisconsin. They came back to North Carolina. That this is something where once we catch the fire, so to speak, that then we are to go out and light fires. And yes. So I think we need to pray into that, that the impact of this event would be one where fires are being lit, that people are not only ignited while they're there, but then they take that fire with them to go to other places, to go to the next generations, and to spread, and to spread quickly. And I'm here in Southern California. When we have a fire, it's almost always associated with a very strong wind. Yes. And that's what makes the fires move so fast and so powerfully, is that right. The wind that blows with it. So I want people to pray not only for the fire and for the impact, but for the wind to spread the fire, the holy yes. fire, the gospel fire. And so, Father, I just ask for those who have the heart now, would you please pray with and for Jeff, for him personally, for the vision for this event, for the roots of this event that go back to some of the best-known people, not only in our nation but around the world, for bringing the gospel, and that fire would not only be caught but then spread rapidly. So let's have folks start to step in and pray for this now, please.
This is Priscilla in California, and this is really dear to my heart because I received Christ in 1976, which was part of that outpouring that the people you gave testimony of, you know, in the 70s. And Father, I just want to thank you so much for this event, and Lord, that you even have on their website that it is catalytic stadium gathering. Lord, catalytic, that is one of my favorite words. And Lord, that means that there's something going to spread quite rapidly. And I want to just encourage you, because when you were sharing, I had just written something, and then you said, you know, we're praying that it will be global. And I just want to say and decree that that the 70s were huge, okay, for my generation, no doubt. Many were saved. And at that time, the leaders did not, most parts, a lot of the church leaders did not recognize these new Jesus people that were coming out during that time. There was no internet, so there was definitely no global impact. But I had written down global impact when you said something about impact. And so I want to say, Father, as I believe you're leading me to say this, that there will be global impact. Lord, that there's going to be such an impact that it is going to enlarge the tents of everyone, Lord. In Isaiah 54, it talks about enlarging the tent. You are saying in the message, you said something about allow plenty of rope. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room. Well, it's in Texas. I mean, it's a huge state. I mean, just as an example, just look around Texas. But the elbow room that the Lord's giving you is the entire globe, and the nations are His. He's the desire of the nations. He has desired the nations, and He will have them. So this event will definitely be a catalytic event to the nations, and He is imparting that anointing for you to have this enlargement and to just get plenty of rope. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's like big nets. More prayer. I love it. Let's get some more prayer. That's great.
This is Nancy in D.C. I think this is really awesome because we just had the send. Then we had the World Prayer Assembly. They both accentuated young people, young adults. And now this is number 3. 1, 2, 3, go. So we just thank you, Lord. This is going to be a time, God, where your fire is going to fall on these young ones. God, we thank you. You're going to bring them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. That you just will bring in the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, God. We just thank you that pastors will encourage the young people to go, Lord, all around the states and even from foreign lands, God. We just thank you that we're going to see that what you want, God, that harvest to come forth. So we just stand with our friend, God. We just cover him with the blood of Yeshua. We cover him with prayer. Joshua's and Aaron's to come alongside if whatever he needs, God. Anything that's needed, Lord, you know. You provide every single need. We thank you it's going to be done with the spirit of excellence. And the reputation is going to go forth loud and wide. But we just thank you, God, that many that can't be there will watch on Zoom. And, Lord, we just thank you for the harvest. We thank you for the outpouring in Yeshua's name. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's get some more prayer. I see the beauty of what I see is this sense of people as they like walk before the ark. When Israel left Egypt, that they had tribes that walked before. There were tribes that walked on either side, and so on. There is something about the order of the army of God, and my sense is that God is ordering something here, not ordering just like making an order, but ordering in terms of putting things together so that there are groups of people that have different assignments to make this thing happen of this magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no question if you've got 25,000 people that have already signed up for this thing, the degree of coordination in the kingdom that's taking place for this to take place. And that this idea that I talked about with the fire, that we really want this ignition to take place, Father God.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ignite the catalytic word that Priscilla prayed in, Father God, that this is something that is a fresh wind, this is a fresh fire, and even though we're going back to 50 years from when the events first took place, the idea in the kingdom is that it's always a renewal, it's always a freshness, that revival is not just an event, but that it is a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So, Father, I pray for those who come, Father God, that they would be marching in those orderly ranks, just as Israel left Egypt in orderly ranks with the command to move forward. And as a nation, Israel moved forward. And now, Father God, I pray that picture of our nation and the global impact that has been prayed for, Lord, that would now take place, that there'd be fresh wind in the sails, Lord, a fresh fire that you're blowing, that Dallas would be a site, Father God, for something in the supernatural realm to take place. I presume this is back in the same stadium again. Is that right, Jeff?
Same place, Cotton Bowl Stadium.
Yep, in the Cotton Bowl, okay. So that is established as holy ground, Lord, and that there would be transactions that take place in the spirit in that place, and that lives there would be so impacted, Lord, that they would carry that word forward, and that would become global in its impact. We still need a little more prayer here before we wrap it up. Let's get a couple or three more people. If you have any personal prayer requests that you have, Jeff, we would like to hear those as well. Let's get one or two more people first to pray, and then we'll hear from Jeff again.
Yeah, this is Deb in Montana. When the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, they had to have someone come out, go before them, and then they could follow. And they crossed the Red Sea, and, of course, the Ark of the Covenant had been made yet, but yet something was happening within Moses when he raised that staff. Okay, young people of this nation right now, you're walking on the wrong side of the river. There's a river called the Jordan, and they had to cross over the Jordan to get onto the right side that God had provided for them. And Father, right now, there is not the priesthood to carry the ark across the Jordan for these young people, really for all of us. And that there would be the intercessors that will make the way, part the way, so they can walk on dry ground and cross over the Jordan to the highway of holiness and leave the unholiness and all the unbelief and the rebellion behind them, and they will cross over the river, oh, the river of God, and they will come on to the highway of holiness. And, Father, we just thank you for the years past that this has happened and may it happen again and again and again, because I know I have a granddaughter that needs to cross over. She used to be on the, well, I won't go into detail, but anyway, there are people like her, Lord, that you need to cross over and go back, go onto the highway of holiness. It's all that has been prepared for you. And there was a great sacrifice made for you to walk on it. And we thank you in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen. This is Linda in Sacramento. Father God, our brother just prayed about transaction. And I just, we release on earth what has already been released in heaven. You are about redemption. You are about correction. And we declare now that the horror of trafficking that has occurred at events such as the Super Bowl in the same area, Abba, we declare and decree that your ways be known, and we multiply the lives that have been ruined with the lives that will be coming together in this glorious event that you have ordained from the beginning of time for such a time as this. In Yeshua's name we pray.
This is Maryland, Alabama, and as a person born and raised in Dallas, I want to thank you, Lord, for the history and for the heritage of this holy place that was anointed in many events. I thank the Lord for the privilege of marching at an early Billy Graham crusade around the Cotton Bowl as part of choirs that participated in it. And Lord, I thank you for this event upcoming, and that it will just continue to be used in a mighty way by the Holy Spirit to bring many people into the kingdom in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And this is Priscilla. I have one other thing. The Lord had me just visiting Chuck Pierce and Dutch Sheik's 50-state tour, which they did at the beginning of the century. And California is the crossing over state. Texas is the prophetic state. And I, Lord, I just pray that we will rely, actually bring up the prophetic words of the past. Lord, there's a synergy of the ages that's happening. You're bringing a unity into the states of the United States of America, Lord, where we will prophesy to one another as states. And, Lord, I just prophesy to this prophetic state, which your testimony, Jesus, which is coming out of Texas and will come out of this stadium, is prophetic in that it will create space and catalytically for other states to come in and other nations to come in. And so, Lord, as a crossing over state that we were brought to that place, I say cross over Texas into the destiny that the Lord has for you, that he's had woe from the foundation and of the earth. And I just thank you for that, Lord, that you're doing this, Lord, beyond any expectation. I don't see the stadium full like it was then, but, Lord, you got the whole world. And so, Father, we just thank you for that, Lord, because you are on the throne, and you are the one who has orchestrated this entire thing. I thank you for this brother. I pray that you will keep him in good health. You will keep him walking. You will cause him to run. He will not grow faint. He will not be weary, but he will rise up truly as the one that you want him to be. There's going to be many doors that he will have opportunity to walk through. And, Lord, I pray you will not, and you will not allow him to do that without the wisdom from above. So I ask you that now, too, Lord. Lord, in Yeshua's name, amen.
This is Barbara from Newburgh, Oregon. And I want to ask for a personal request. I've had Parkinson's since I was 80, and now I'm 86. And I would appreciate a deliverance from Parkinson's disease.
Okay, Barbara, let's do this. I want to finish up with Jeff. And then I'll stay on the phone with you and anybody else, because we want to pray for that accordingly. But let's stay on track here, Barb, and don't leave us. Don't take this as anything other than we want to seal this with Jeff, all right? So, Jeff, do you have a personal prayer that you need? And then when we're done with that, then, Barbara, I'll personally pray for you and anybody else who would like to stay on. Please.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think whoever prayed for this last was what I was thinking. It's just physical endurance, you know, and sometimes we can get so busy in the moment that we don't take time to be in the Word and we don't take to pray, because we've got our long checklist of things that have to be done. And as we move closer to an event like this, I'm sure for those of you who have been involved in events, it seems like the checklists, they grow. they grow. And I think that would just help me to put the checklist in perspective and really to seek his wisdom. I've been reading about that in Colossians this last week, Colossians chapter 1. And really the preeminence of Christ is shared in Colossians 1. And I've just been reviewing that every morning, you know, that this event is about Jesus. And that would be first and foremost in our mind, that for all that happens in all of these preparations, especially this last month, that by the things that I do, the things that our team does here together, that Jesus would be seen and Jesus would be lifted up. And that's our hope and prayer, that even after this event is over, that the Lord Jesus would continue to be lifted up. So that's a quick summary for me. Thank you so much.
Amen. Well, let's get one person then to pray for Jeff, anyone, and then we will go back to Barbara and bless her. Someone who really feels the call to pray for Jeff.
The scripture that came to me was, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Father, I thank you that Jeff takes that time to put you first. Everything will fall into order, God. And everyone who needs to help, they're going to just come and volunteer. So we just thank you, God, it's going to be done decently and in order to your glory. We give you all the glory, Lord, in Yeshua's name.
Amen. We agree. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. We echo that word of the preeminence, not just the eminence, but the preeminence. That he is before all things. He's not only above all things, he is before all things. And before is not just something that occurs in time, but it is also in place. And so he's both in time and in place and has always been. And so we submit these things to you. Thank you, Jeff, for your heart for this. This is exciting. I'm so excited because we're doing a one together event, and you're doing together 22. So we're all together in this thing. And it is a picture of how the body is supposed to work. Yeah. We, you know, we all have got oars in the same boat. And, you know, and we need the Lord to call out the cadence, you know, stroke, 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 so that we're all doing this thing together, because that's how the kingdom advances, is through that measure of unity. So we call out the saints to Dallas, Father God. Come and be Lord over this event, Father God. Bless you, Jeff. Appreciate your heart and your time on this thing. I'm going to end the recording here, but Barbara, we want to pray for you, okay?
Thank you.